Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Now, every once in a while, many of us as South Africans rush to the airport and make our way to catch flights, head off to different cities across the country and even other country, different cities in the country, but even other nations, of course. But you might recall a few months ago, we actually touched on the FlySafair strike. It was a strike that literally grounded several flights in South Africa, and many with disgruntled passengers had experienced cancellations back in the month of July. And on the back of that, we recognize that there's a real threat and concern here. Not only is South Africa losing significant talent from the aviation industry to international markets, more specifically, if you take a look at the Middle East, but we also find ourselves competing for international talent by not having them be paid adequately. And that's brought about a different question to raise awareness around adequate reward for those in the aviation space. So tonight, we thought we'd get a refresher of this conversation and speak to someone who's very close to the industry, in it, has seen clear developments and also supported its growth and critical changes. Mr. Guy Leach, he's an aviation analyst, to talk us through not only the talent shortage that we witness when it comes to cabin crew and pilots in South Africa, but more so when it comes to air traffic controllers who appear to be leaving South Africa in their droves. Guy, welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, hi, Gugu. Nice to be with you.
Always excited to speak to you. And for a moment, we're not focused on, I guess, any one particular airline, but more the overall industry trends when it comes to the aviation space. And one thing's quite certain, like many other spaces in the country, we appear to be struggling with a talent crunch and most of our talent essentially fleeing for alternative opportunities abroad. What's the status quo there? And just how severe is this reality?
It's a huge problem. One of the key problems, but both an advantage and a problem that we have as South Africans, is that we're an English-speaking country. And the lingua franca, that means the universal language of aviation, is English. So South African skills are in demand right across the world. And right now in particular, there's a global shortage of air traffic controllers. So we're really finding it hard to retain our air traffic controllers in South Africa. And of course, the problem is not just air traffic controllers. It's also all the associated sort of back office people, particularly in this case with ATNS, those who are designing and responsible for the approval of the instrument flight procedures, which are causing so much problem. But the solution is that we've got to be training up our own people faster than we're losing them. And that's just not happening at this stage. There are some advantages in being here in South Africa in that we can actually get away with paying less than the international going rate. And that's because we're offering those who already have the talents and the skills and the experience a better quality of life. So as a pilot once said to me, an SAA pilot, he says, yeah, it's all very tempting to go and fly in the Far East for a Chinese airline for typically three times as much as we get paid here. Whoa. And it's tax-free. But he said to me, you know, but hey, who am I going to drink beer with around the braai on Friday nights? Oh. And those are sort of lovely subjective components, which I suspect allow South African companies to pay as much as a third less than the actual competitive rate. But if the gap, or the delta, if you like, gets any smaller than that, as we've seen, all the talents or a large part of the talent immigrates and the industry ends up in crisis. Mm.
That's a very refreshing perspective, right, on the quality of life we have in South Africa, despite inadequate payment to match global counterparts. But there's something so critical you alluded to, Guy, which is we need to train more of our own pilots and air traffic controllers. If I'm not mistaken, the aviation industry is a really specialized skill and one that takes some time in terms of developing not only a significant pipeline, but also growing a substantial talent pool. Where are we going wrong in terms of appropriate investment in driving and in training and support?
You know, it's not so much the investment, it's the approach to aviation. Aviation for many especially previously disadvantaged communities, has sort of been clouded in a mystique or mystery. And the people just think, oh, I could never do that. I could never fly an aeroplane, or I could never become an air traffic controller, because you've got to be so clever and you've got to have maths and science as a basic qualification and so on. But that's really, to address that, we really need to make the career that much more attractive. It's demystify it. Get people out there telling them what it's actually like to be an air traffic controller. Everyone thinks that aviation is just about being a pilot, but it's not. There are so many and many different aviation careers that are really rewarding, such as engineering, or air traffic management. The Civil Aviation Authority is a major employer. There are so many avenues out there. Look, the CIA is doing a fair amount in terms of developing interest in aviation. A couple of the other parastatals are doing something. And SIA has now just started a cadet scheme again, which is all good news. But, our inflow needs to be that much bigger if we're going to be able to manage the outflow of talent.
That's such an important theme that you mentioned. I remember growing up and thinking, geez, to be a pilot, one needs quite a bit of brain matter that they can use adequately. But as you say, it's just making sure that we have an adequate pipeline and pool of talent that we can tap into. Is this specific to the airlines themselves, or do we need a more united front and a wide approach from the aviation industry overall? Because typically, as you say, if it's not cabin crew or being a pilot, other sectors and other industries are typically not considered in the aviation industry.
Yeah, well, I need to point out the Department of Transport is trying relatively hard to even it up as well. To create a full DEI program. ICAO, which is the International Civil Aviation Organization, has also got a slogan there, which is "Let none be left behind." There's a massive emphasis on developing women or female skills in the industry. So there's a lot happening. But, one of the things that I didn't mention earlier was that we need really good leadership in the parastatals in particular. And this is the failure we've seen within AT&S. The CEO, Ms. Ndawe, is currently suspended. And she's been suspended for, about 7 or 8 months now already. There's no talk of replacement. But the real problem is that all these big parastatals, which provide absolutely essential services, seem to go through cycles where they end up as absolutely toxic to the employees. And that's probably more than half the problem. It's not just about throwing money at it. It's making these organizations a place where you actually want to work, not where there's political infighting and empire building and backstabbing going on all the time. That's the culture I think that we could relatively easily and cheaply deal with. I've been looking today at the annual financial report of AT&S, and they're throwing money at the problem. I mean, look, just sort of there's nearly 9.3 million rand paid out in retention benefits to try and keep people from leaving.
Whoa.
There's 7.5 million, in fact 15 million over the past 2 years, having been paid in relocation costs to try and bring in foreign skills to bridge the gap. 3 million paid in recruitment costs. 6 million paid in housing allowances. So they really are throwing a lot of money at the problem, but it's not just money. It's, as I said at the beginning, it's about lifestyle and it's about the quality of life and the work experience. You don't want to go to work to a place that you really just hate.
Yeah, that's true. That's for sure. Guy, it's quite clear that as we're throwing so much money at the problem, that the gap is not only widening, but it is currently severe. What's the reality in terms of the skills gap that we have? Are there any fake figures to help us quantify just how great the girth is?
Well, we're focused in right now on the key problem, which is the cancellation of what was originally 226 instrument flight procedures, which has caused massive damage to the aviation industry. And honestly, that boils down to the loss of 7 or 8 people. It's that select and that focused in terms of managing to have the right staff. So
that's Minister 7 or 8 Creasy people per flight, if I'm understanding you correctly, Guy?
No. Oh. 7 or 8 employees for ATNS. That's how specific the problem is here. Gotcha. In this regard. Air traffic controllers by themselves are a serious shortage, and we're seeing what are called regions or areas being combined. But it hasn't been a big problem. The real problem has been, in fact, we've seen a lot of it in the news of late. For instance, the withdrawal of procedures from Polokwane and Kruger and Mpumalanga and Mthatha and Richards Bay. Those are having enormous knock-on effects in terms of the airline's ability to feed people into the major hubs in Joburg and Cape Town. But the problem is that the actual, I was just discussing it, and the problem seems to be getting worse. Mm. I mean, it was in June that the 226 procedures were suspended by the Civil Aviation Authority. They've managed to reinstate a whole lot, but in the interim, a whole lot of others have become suspended again. So, and it's absolutely horrifying that 17 of these procedures are applied to Cape Town. Now, Cape Town has done an incredibly good job with its Cape Airlift strategy in terms of encouraging airlines to fly directly to Cape Town. But here, if the instrument flight procedures are suspended, the airlines won't be able to land at Cape Town in bad weather. And, you know, the nearest alternative for Cape Town is, in fact, George, which causes enormous difficulties and challenge in terms of getting people to the destination. So the knock-on effects are not just the hundreds of millions of rands which the airlines are moaning about, but the consequences to the overall economy and tourism are absolutely incalculable. But it's useful. I mean, I have a PhD in air connectivity and costs.
Yes.
And there's a metric out there which says that for every dollar spent on an airline ticket, it creates another $30 of a broader value in the broader economy.
Sure.
So we're losing massive amounts of money because of this, of the suspended flight procedures, and that's multiplied by 30 in its impact on tourism and connectivity and investment and so on.
That is huge. Is it too late for me to change careers, Guy?
You'd have a wonderful voice for an air traffic controller.
I hope so. Maybe you can teach me what it is they tell the pilots, right? While landing in a couple of minutes, cabin crew, cross. Well, that's what the pilots say.
But that's what the pilots do, right? Yes. Yeah.
I'll learn. Maybe we should invite an air traffic controller into studio one day and get the practical insights as to what takes place between the tower and the cockpit. That would be interesting. Guy, always a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
All the best. Good. Thank you.
That's Guy Leach, their aviation analyst, teaching us a thing or three. If anything, we always keep learning from Guy, given his expertise in the aviation space. And as you've heard, every time you book a flight ticket, there's a multiplier effect. The standard quote or figure that's quoted is that there's a 30 times impact in terms of the money we spend on airlines in order to get around the country, the world, and to different cities. And what you do need is to make sure that there's adequate talent, staff, people on the ground, to make sure that not only can you actually catch a flight and move across the sky, but at some point that flight needs to land. And that's where the air traffic controllers do come into play, who themselves have also been flying and leaving South Africa for better opportunities outside of our borders. But as we've heard, there's just some benefits that do offer a sense of security, better quality of life, and of course, perhaps an opportunity to contribute actively to South Africa's economy by staying home. So these are just a few of the themes we need to be mindful of. So spread the word. The Department of Transport and a few other organizations actively trying to ensure that they ramp up the recruitment drive within the aviation agents industry. It's not just about being cabin crew. There's so many other important factors that also exist right here on the ground to keep our planes in the sky. So share your thoughts. your comments and your voice notes. 063-688-0959. If you are someone who happens to work in the aviation industry, get in touch with us. Let us know what's your reality, and most importantly, allude us to the opportunities that exist, not only for employment, but even for partnership as entrepreneurs as well, as we try to continue to grow the size of South Africa's economy.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.